want to have you go to two places, if you will. Mark chapter 12, Luke chapter 21. Mark chapter 12, Luke chapter 21. We're going to read the same account, same story in two different Gospels. Mark 12, we'll read at the end of the chapter. And then Luke 21, we'll read at the beginning of the chapter. Mark chapter 12, we'll begin in verse number 41, and then we'll move over to Luke chapter 21 and begin there at the very first of the chapter. Mark chapter 12, Luke 21, we'll begin in Mark. So let's stand at this time, please, for the reading of the Bible. Mark chapter 12 and verse 41. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they that have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. And then Luke chapter 21, we'll begin at verse number 1. Luke chapter 21 and verse number 1. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow casting in hither or thither two mites. And he said, Of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all, for all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear Lord, for this dear lady. And we ask, dear God, that you would please, Lord, just teach us some things tonight that will help us, Lord, in this world of materialism. Dear Lord, it's refreshing to read this story as it lifts off the pages of your holy Bible. Thank you, dear God, for the example of this widow lady whose name we do not know, and I believe we'll meet one day in heaven. And Lord, certainly, Lord, she was commended by Jesus Christ, so we ought to take a moment and observe and see and pay attention and learn from her example. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to preach tonight on this subject, sacrificial giving, sacrificial giving. I believe that the Bible teaches us some very distinct and very definite principles when it comes to God's expectation, when it comes to our giving. The Bible teaches us the principle of tithes and the principle of offerings. Back in Malachi chapter 3, verse 7, we read these words, Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, Wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with the curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now. Herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. God established in the Old Testament that the principle of tithing. What is a tithe? The tithe is 10% of the increase that God has prospered you in the course of every week. We're going to read in the New Testament as far as the gathering of the tithe and when that's supposed to happen. But the tithe is 10% of all of God's increase in your life. We need to give that to God. God considers the tithe His. It is not a matter of us choosing to give it to him. It already belongs to him. And so if we withhold it from him, the Bible says that we are robbing God of what is already his. The Bible not only teaches us the importance of tithing, but he says Wherein have you robbed me? He said, in tithes and offerings. And so it's not just a matter of bringing a tithe to the Lord, the 10%, but then as God would move upon your heart to add to that. One man said this, the tithe gives us a chance to demonstrate our obedience to God. The offerings gives us an opportunity to demonstrate our love to God. And the tithe is given by command out of obligation. The offering, I think, is presented above the tithe as a proof to God of our love for Him and His work and our heart's desire to be in line with Him when it comes to this matter of generosity. And so we teach, as we ought to, from the pulpit. We teach our young people growing up through the Sunday school curriculum the importance of learning to tithe, giving 10% every week of what God has increased you that week. And then to add to that tithe, offerings. These offerings can be given along with the tithe. They can be given in the offering plate on Wednesday night that helps with the buildings. They can be given, of course, to missions. And thank God for what we are allowed to do in supporting missionaries around the world. And so as God would lead you, as you pray and consider these things, giving of your tithes and offerings ought to be a normal thing for a born-again Christian to do. Every once in a while, let me just help you with this. This may be a new concept to some of you. And say, preacher, I just couldn't afford to tithe. I want to say this, and I mean it with all of my heart. Listen, I love you or I wouldn't teach you this. But I tell you this, you can't afford not to tithe. Because the Bible says that there are promises that come with those, and promises that God makes to those that will tithe, and punishment that He will extend to those who refuse to by robbing Him. He goes on to say, ye are cursed with the curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Well, I couldn't help to stop there and think about that. Here we are, Veterans Day, and celebrating, and all of us have a heart for our country and a love for our country. And I think about the last 100 years of our country and the prosperity of this country. And I wonder, with all that God has abundantly poured out upon this nation, how many people have brought on a weekly basis, and we're going to show that it ought to be gathered in the church and it ought to be gathered every single week. But how much of that has been stolen from God? How many people, and you think about all of the riches and all of the blessings that this country has received over the many decades as we look back in our history. I think about the last 40 years, and if you just took that stretch right there, and as God has prospered and blessed and poured out blessing upon people, and people that many who claim to be born-again Christians, and yet they have robbed God. One of the reasons I believe that a curse is coming upon our nation is because we're stealing from God. Now, folks, listen to me. You may not be able to control what a nation does, but you ought to make sure that you secure the blessings of God upon your own life and your family's life. The Bible says this, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And so God not only promises to open the windows of heaven and give blessings in return to our obedience to bring tithes and offerings, but also that he would rebuke the devourer, those things that eat up and destroy the things that we do have. And God builds a hedge of protection around a person that financially is obedient to this. It doesn't mean that you'll never have a financial setback or a challenge or a need, but if you'll look over the course of your life as a faithful giver, you can probably join with me in saying, you know what, God keeps his promises. And he does provide back. And folks, you can live better on 90% plus an offering than you ever will be able to on 100%. Because with the keeping of the 100%, you secure a curse of God upon your life. Where in the giving of the 10% with an offering, you secure the blessings and generosity of God and the protection of God upon you and your family. And so that's basic giving. That's kind of a primer, if you'll let me say, and just a quick teaching on basic giving. When is this tithe and offering supposed to be gathered? In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, God, through inspiration, instructed Paul to write, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye upon the first day of the week. Now, what day is the first day of the week? Sunday. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath promised him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Every single Sunday, what we're supposed to do is look back at the last 7 days since the last Sunday. And anything that God has increased us, all blessings, anything that he's given to us during that stretch of time, we are to take tithes and offerings and come to the church house ready to give to the Lord's work, and so that the work of God can go forward as God hath prospered him. So if God prospered you at all in the last 7 days, your responsibility as an obedient Christian is to come to the church today and have ready to give 10% plus an offering of all that God has prospered you. If you were prospered this week and you did not do that, listen to me. I'm being your friend by telling you this. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help your family. I'm trying to secure God's blessing on your family and your children's future. You have robbed God, and you owe it to the Lord. You owe it to God. And so we're going to get to heaven one of these days, and I think God will show all that could have been and should have been accomplished for his work that simply was not, because Christians live in defiance and disobedience to a very, I think, reasonable request from the Lord. You know, God could have said, bring me 90, and you have to live on 10. God said, bring me 10, I'm going to let you keep 90. And the Bible says that everything belongs to God, all of it. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. So God's very generous to us, and has that really not asked much compared to what he was willing to give. He sure didn't give just 10% of his son. He gave 100% when he went to Calvary. And so if you're not practicing that and you did not know to practice that, this is a good teaching opportunity for you to learn and begin to do that and begin to secure God's blessing. If you did know about it and you simply are not doing it, it would be a great opportunity for you to repent of that sin in your life, get right with the Lord, and begin to do that, and so that God can begin to bless your life. Now, folks, listen to me. That's just weekly giving. I want to talk to you about graduate level giving. I want to talk to you and challenge you in the matter of sacrificial giving. There's a wonderful story, and it's recorded for us in Mark chapter 12 and in Luke chapter 21 about a lady who was a widow lady. And the Bible says she wasn't just a widow lady. She was a poor widow lady. And so she's identified in the scriptures as being poor. And yet it came time to have the gathering at the Lord's house, and the rich people lined up, and Jesus, the Bible says, came over and sat over against the treasury. And so I think he walked right up there and sat right there. I think the Lord was pretty bold to do some things. If you'll notice, if you follow his life, he didn't seem to be shy or intimidated by much of anything. And I can see Jesus walk into the house and get right to the front of the line and sit down right to where the people are casting the money and just sit there and watch every single person as they cast in. I need to borrow Jesus every once in a while and see if I could get him to be an usher here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But I can tell you this, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And although you may not see him, Jesus is just as aware of what you give and what you give, do not give as he was the day he sat here in the synagogue right against the treasury. And all of these rich came and they cast in much. And it says in Luke 21, for all of these have of their abundance cast in. And so they gave a lot. Luke chapter 21, verse 1, and he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And so he watched this, and the Bible says that they cast in much. And he does not make comment about that or congratulate them or draw any attention whatsoever, and there's a reason that he didn't do that. But when a certain poor widow came and threw in two mites, all of a sudden Jesus stops, and he calls his disciples up to him. And he says this about this widow, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast in the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now she wasn't commanded to do this, folks. If she could have given 10% in an offering and been completely in obedience to the scriptures. But for whatever reason, she was obeying the Lord, having been led by the Holy Spirit and impressed to do something very sacrificial. And she didn't make any fanfare about it. She didn't draw attention to it, but Jesus drew attention to it. And she didn't sound a trumpet, as Jesus warned against. I'm sure probably nobody but her knew that the Holy Spirit had moved in her heart to do this thing. But Jesus knew, and he drew our attention to it. When I talk about sacrificial giving, I'm not talking about something that you have to do every week. I think it ought to be something that we are very open to God about and tender to God about, because there are times when God will lay it upon our heart to do something unusual for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. God commends here sacrificial giving. Now let's work down through this. Number one, sacrificial giving defined. Let's define it. Preacher, what is sacrificial giving? You mean giving a tithe is not sacrificial giving? Giving a tithe and an offering is not sacrificial giving? Let me define according to the scriptures what sacrificial giving is, according to what Jesus drew our attention to in this portion of scripture. Sacrificial giving is giving to the work of the Lord out of your living, out of your living. To give to the work of the Lord in such a way that it has an impact on your standard of living. To offer something of great or small value at great cost to oneself. I've often said this, I don't believe in equal giving, but I believe in equal sacrifice. She did not give as much as the rich, but Jesus said that she gave more. Why? Because she gave out of her living. The example of the widow, from her living, from her penury. What does that mean? Penury means deficit as opposed to abundance. Watch this. They were given out of their abundance. She was given out of her deficit. She was literally giving what she was giving literally what she needed to live from, even all her living, all the living that she had. That's how Jesus identified it. Pastor, you mean it would be possible that God might ask me from time to time to give up something for him that I believe I need to sustain my life? Well, if we're going to make such a bold statement that Jesus, that God might expect that at times, we probably ought to have some biblical support. So if you will, let's go back to 1 Kings chapter number 17 in your Bibles, if you'll turn there, 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter number 17, we read the story of a time when Israel was going through a famine, a very intense famine. And in 1 Kings chapter number 17, we read about a man by the name of Elijah. And in verse number 9, I believe it's verse number 9, the Bible says, "And when he came to the gate of the city," 1 Kings chapter 17, "and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, 'Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink.' And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, 'Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand.' And she said, 'As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die.' And Elijah said unto her," watch this, "'Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after that make for thee and for thy son.'" And I think the widow lady probably thought, this preacher's deaf. I just told him that I had barely enough to make a little bit for me and my son. This was going to be literally our last meal. We have no more food after that, and then we are going to die. And he said, "Now you go ahead and do that, but I want you to first make me one." And I think she's thinking, there's just enough to make one. Now watch this, folks. We sometimes see our situation different than God sees our situation. Now let's finish the story and then understand what God has said. Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Now, if God were to impress upon us to give of our living, he would not do so without accompanying that with a promise that he would see to it that what he is asking us to give, he will replace to see to it that our needs are met. You say, preacher, is it possible that God would ask me to give something up for him that I need to sustain my life? You'll have to get to heaven and ask this widow. I can imagine the criticism that might come from her neighbors who maybe overheard this conversation. Who does that prophet think he is? Who does that preacher think he is? Asking her to give first to him when she and her son are in such dire straits. Now, folks, I'm not making up any of this. You have the same story in front of you that you have that I have in front of me. And the honest truth is that God at times tests our faith. And when God tests our faith, he's willing to reward our faith. Now, folks, listen to me. I don't think that this happened every day of her life. But God simply said, you know what? I'm asking you to give of your living, to give all that you have so that you, and then trust me to recognize that and see whether or not I bless you for doing what I've asked you to do. This woman was asked to sacrifice, by the way, remember this, folks, not during a time of plenty. This wasn't a time of prosperity. This was a time of famine. This wasn't a time when she had extra. This was a time when she was in great need herself. And I was thinking this week as I was looking over the notes and preparing this message that, you know what, we talk about the history of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, but folks, the church building that we're worshiping in right now was built in the winter months of 1975 and the springtime and summer of 1976, and it was dedicated on the 4th of July Sunday in 1976, and the addition then was added in 1978. And could I just remind you that this was during the Jimmy Carter administration? This wasn't a time of financial prosperity. You say, preacher, I mean, folks, this is gas lines and skyrocketing prices and interest rates out of control. And guess what? God moved upon the hearts of people, not in a time where the nation was being blessed and people were being blessed, but when people were struggling. And God said, I want you to sacrifice to see that my work prospers. And if you will sit down and talk to the people, many of them, how many of you, and I was going to do this at some point, and I'm just going to do it now because I was thinking about this afternoon, I forget people, but how many of you have been a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church for over 20 years? Would you stand up if you've been a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church for over 20 years? God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. How many have been a member, stay standing if you've been a member for over 25 years, Blessed Hope Baptist Church for over 25 years. If you've been a member for over 30 years, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Some people are sitting down. I have to laugh because they're not 30 years old yet. So we're losing some. Now, how many have been 35 years a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Over 35 years. All right. So what's left here? Somewhere between 35 and 40 years. These folks know what I'm talking about. Am I telling them the truth? Folks, when people sacrificed to build this place, it wasn't a bunch of rich people that came in with a bunch of extra. It was folks that had a burden. You can be seated. Thank you very much. Folks that had a burden to see something done in this community that needed to be done. And God bless you and thank you for that. But I want to explain to you that sacrificial giving is not something that's made up. It's something that the Bible established. It's something that's defined very specifically in the scripture. And Pastor Ross, my dad used to condemn this prayer. We got in the habit of where some people, and if it was you've ever prayed this, please understand I have nobody in mind. I couldn't remember who prayed what. I can't hardly remember who prayed for the offering a few minutes ago. But I remember my dad corrected something. He said that when we were having offering, we would from time to time have somebody pray a prayer like this before the offering. Lord, please bless this offering. Bless all those who give and bless those who have nothing to give. And he said, let me tell you something. I don't like to hear that prayer. Are you going to tell me in America there's really people in here that don't have anything to give? If you're saying that, that means this. Stay with me. God has not prospered or increased you anything in the last 7 days. Is that what your testimony is? Is that what you're saying? Now, there may be those times in your life where that literally is true, but that would be a rarity. And even if God did not prosper you financially, are you going to tell me he has not prospered you in some way in the last 7 days and there's no way that you could offer an expression of thanksgiving towards what he's done? And so I remember my dad one time taking a, a little side road in a sermon and correcting that and said, folks, let's not pray that because it gives people the idea that God's going to bless those who claim to have nothing to give. You have nothing? Nothing as an American. Nothing that you feel like you could offer to the Lord. Nothing. Amen. You live in a different country than I do. Sacrificial giving is defined. Sacrificial giving is something that God and the Lord Jesus Christ certainly rewards and commends. So number one, we see sacrificial giving defined. Number two, sacrificial giving decried. Now, what does it mean to decry? Decry means to express strong disapproval. Just as a preacher ought to preach from time to time on sacrificial giving, almost every time a preacher will preach on sacrificial giving, somebody will be bothered by it, somebody will be upset about it, and somebody will criticize it. In John chapter 12, could I have you go there now? John chapter 12. And I want you to know this isn't anything new. There is no new thing under the sun. In John chapter 12, we see a critic of sacrificial giving. John chapter 12, and we begin reading in verse number 1. John chapter 12, verse number 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? And he said, notice what the scripture tells us, this he said, not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, notice what he said, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. I listened to a sermon on this just recently, and the man told us that this pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, if you study it both in this portion of Scripture and the other portions of Scripture where this story is recorded, it will cost a year's wages. A year's wages. And this 300 he mentioned here, 300 pence, a year's wages. And Judas was offended immediately that such a sacrificial gift would have been given and poured out at the feet of Jesus. Now, I think it's good that we identify the one who became critical. Should we be surprised? It was Judas who was critical. One of Christ's 12 disciples, yes, but he was also identified and is identified in the Bible as a pretender, a thief, and eventually he'll become a traitor. Now, let me say this, folks, listen to me. You be open-hearted to God's leading in this matter of giving. I'm not going to say much at all specific except what I've said. I can be very specific with you to tell you that the tithe is the Lord's. I can be very specific to tell you that I believe an offering ought to accompany the tithe. I think in doing so, you open the windows of heaven. I think in doing so, you build a hedge of protection around your family. But it is the Lord that will speak to your heart from time to time in this matter of sacrificial giving. Folks, listen to me. 2013, don't get ahead of myself. Life is going quick enough. 2013 is almost done. You're going to tell me that not one time in 2013 did God impress you at all ever to do anything that is truly sacrificial for his work? Not once in an entire year. You're going to let the clock run out and run down, and not one time did the Holy Spirit of God. Can I ask you an honest question? Have you ever asked him about it? Have you ever on your time of prayer said to the Lord, Lord, we recognize, and I recognize that everything that I have belongs to you. And Lord, I want you to understand that anything that you would ever require, anything that you would ever ask us to sacrifice, we would be willing to do so. Folks, listen to me. If God has your heart, he'll have everything else. And I think that we ought to, as Christians, in this day when it's so important and the work of God is so important, folks, we're coming down to the finish line. Jesus Christ is coming back. If you're a big saver, let me just say this. I'm not putting a date on anything, but I'm not sure what you're saving for. Because you know what? Jesus is coming back. He's coming soon. And what I'm saying is I'm not advocating foolishness. I'm advocating faith. And I would tell you this. It would be wrong for us from time to time, not just time to time, many times go to the Lord offering to him anything and everything that he would so lay upon our hearts. I've been doing this for a while, folks. I've been in the ministry for some time now. I've been saved for good night 47 years. I've been preaching over 30 years. I live my life in God's work. I've lived my life in God's house. And I'm going to just say this. Show me a person who becomes the chief critic when a sermon is preached on sacrificial giving, and I'll show you a Judas. I'll show you a Judas. Let me ask you something. Why is it that when the preacher preaches on giving, you're so bothered? Let me tell you why Judas was bothered. Judas was bothered because he was a thief. And usually people that are thieves are the ones bothered about preaching on tithing and offering and sacrificial giving. And you got to understand something. If you start by being a thief, before it's over, you'll be a traitor. Yes, sir. If you start by being a thief, before it's over, you'll be a traitor. And so, you know, you ought to be very open to this. Hey, what Mary did here. Listen, folks, what the widow did in 1 Kings 17. Come on now. What the widow did at the offering there. That should not be a rare instance in Christianity. It ought not be an unheard of thing. Can I say this? That ought to be, watch this, normal, regular activity in the house of the Lord. As the Lord would tenderize our hearts and lead us, you know, we ought to be very willing to give back to a God who has given everything for us. The opportunity to ask us to give everything for him. Judas is the one that began to criticize, but in Mark chapter 14, we see that other disciples got caught up in it. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? Matthew confirms that the some mentioned in Mark's account included some of the other disciples. And that's why you got to be careful. You start hanging around people that are critical about giving and critical and offended when the church is challenged to do extra giving from time to time. And I guarantee you, you're hanging around a Judas. You need to get away from that person. I don't want to spend my life reacting to the subject of sacrificial giving with a Judas attitude about it. The subject of giving always separates, I think, those that are spiritually mature from those that are spiritually immature. Sacrificial giving is first defined in the Bible, but notice the example is given here where it then becomes decried. It is strongly disapproved by Judas. But then we see the last point tonight, sacrificial giving defended. In Mark chapter 12, verse number 42, and there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he, Jesus, called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury, for all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Jesus called his disciples unto him, and he used her example as a teaching opportunity. Watch this, folks. Jesus bragged on her. There's no condemnation of her sacrifice, but instead, her example was chosen by God to be written down for all men of all times in the Holy Scriptures. Mark chapter 14. If you'll turn there, Mark chapter 14. Let's look at verse number 3, Mark chapter 14. And verse number 3. Watch this. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, this is another account of what Mary did. And as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this, isn't that a terrible word? Why was this waste of the ointment made? Folks, it was poured out upon the head of Jesus. It was used as an opportunity to express love to Jesus. Why would that be a waste? Have we gotten to the point in Christianity where we see sacrificial giving to God and His work as a waste of resources? Verse 5, for it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me, for ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Jesus defended her decision to give this sacrificial gift. He called what she did a good work. He made what she did a memorial unto her. All through the New Testament, the example is given and approval heaped upon those who gave sacrificially. I won't take the time to have you turn to all these places, but you can see the example of the early church and sacrificial giving in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4. The example of Barnabas, who sold a piece of land and having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And you know what? We see no condemnation, but instead it's recorded for us as an example. The example of the churches of Macedonia in 2 Corinthians 8, chapter 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear you record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. We see that here's a church here that was in a time of great trial and affliction. The Bible says that, you know what? Even in the midst of deep poverty, they abounded unto the riches of their liberality. And I like this little statement, for to their power I bear you record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. So this just wasn't what they had to give. This is what they really didn't have to give, and yet they gave. And we see that, again, their example is recorded for us in the Scriptures. Now, let me help you, and we're going to wind it down. No matter, this ought to be the attitude of a Christian, no matter my financial condition, no matter my debt load, no matter my foolish past financial decisions, I would still, every week, bring the first 10% of my income along with a generous offering on the first day of the week to the house of the Lord. I will still give regularly, sacrificially, as God directs for other projects and for worldwide missions. Robbing God and refusing to invest in the worldwide distribution of the gospel will not help you fix your financial problems, and instead it will compound them. Tonight we have looked at the Bible basis of sacrificial giving. When the subject of sacrificial giving is brought up, or when someone in the church becomes involved in sacrificial giving, does it bless you or does it bother you? I believe that every Christian has to gauge their own reaction to this subject, because I believe that you'll do one of two things. You'll react like Judas or you'll react like Jesus. May Blessed Hope Baptist Church learn in this important area of our lives to be like Jesus. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear Lord, for what you have included in your Scriptures and the encouragement of us to do what you have set for us to do. Lord, thank you for John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. And if you could love us enough to give, would it be pleased be true that we would love you enough to give? And I pray, Lord, that as we learn and as we grow in grace and as we study the Scriptures, and dear God, as you deal with each of our hearts, may we be faithful in our tithes and offerings. May we be open, dear God, to the idea. Matter of fact, Lord, not waiting for you to suggest it, but for us to bring it up in matters of prayer and openness before you, that we would always, dear God, remind you and be ready and willing at the whisper of your Spirit's leading to give anything, dear God, that we would have, that you would point at, that you would encourage us to give. Lord, may we not live and die as Christians and never understand the joys and the benefits and the blessings of faithful giving and sacrificial giving. May we never Lord, please don't let us, dear God, in this area be robbed of the experience of from time to time watching you do something amazing in response to our obedience to your direction. And I pray that you would, Lord, continue as you have through the 40-year history of this church, that you would continue to, Lord, stir the hearts of Christians and make us willing always, dear God, to place your work and your wants far beyond our wants, and Lord, at your direction, even above our needs. We would pray these things in Jesus' name.